Blog Talk Radio.
You have a side that's safe for her to go out of state. Now she's in and you can celebrate. A side that's getting your life in sync. Someday retire and hit the links. That's why Nationwide is on your side.
Man, it felt like the struggle's realer than it ever been. I'm still in it though, right?
I just wanna spend time with him, aye. Not pray like I'm waiting to get up. I just wanna get it in one time without a mind drift. Mind flip like a light switch, I wanna pray through the crisis, Next up breaks in the violence. Get away, figured I could pray in the quiet. My mind just goes ape when it's silence,
I just wanna do right, but I slip more than a few times. I was hoping you might help me get it righteous in due time.
I don't wanna live how the blind do. Walk right by you into the bayou. Lie like I tried to find you, but let me hit a quick lick. And if I don't get rich, I'll try you. We owe you more than a pledge. You close till we know that we gon' get away. With the bag you rollin', though you goin' astray. But it's sad, it's only when you broke and you pray. Knowing it's true, I'd rather be broken than two if that'd get me closer to you. Than front like I'm whole when I know it's a hole in my soul. You the only one know what to do with it, holy and true. To you be the glory, I study you like a historian do. I'm a warrior with a sword that could turn an enemy of yours into a freaking warrior fool. God over money, the movement, you blackball who? I smack your blackball with a pool stick. We too sick, we already know the truth is. We can't fold to the dark side, we too lit.
I submit all to you, God. I've been in my mind all day. Couldn't go to sleep last night, yeah. I just need to see your face. Maybe I can get back right.
Whole truth, nothing but the truth, I'ma keep on saying. Finna ride the beat like D-Boy on that bike to squeak though. When the prayer ignite, it's like a cheat code, ain't it? No petrol, just D-So. Banging out the shack, you would think number 3-4 playing. West coast to the east coast, beast mode on the beast. East flow, make the king more famous. Speak to the mountain, watch obstacles moving. If you give your life to God, watch what he do with it. Christ is the ruler, now I am a shooter. Shoot prayer through the roof like through with it. Go ahead, make your request known. Whatever your dress code, you're wearing the best coat. You're covered in the blood of the one who bled for the sins of the world, voted the most. Left on, we are ready for heaven, you're ready to let go. Yes, you were better than whatever, you won't let go. Devil trying to set us up, whatever we blessed though. And if I fail, it'll be for telling them heck no. Struggle, I might throw, but I stay tied to the light pole. The body with me, I don't play ISO. I might fall, but I'm bold, cause I know the Christ role. So I'm righteous in the sight, so
I've been in my mind all day. Couldn't go to sleep last night, yeah. I just need to see.
This is a product of Damn It Network. This is the O&E Trenton Mix Show by your host, Ricardo Rashad, on air now from Lagos, Nigeria, dialing 516-453-9133. Press 1 to join the conversation, brought to you by Looking Glass Entertainment. So, good evening, everybody. I'm so excited. I mean, I don't know, maybe this is about, I think, my 10th show tonight, and I still get a little bit nervous, but at the same time, I'm so, so excited. I just want to let you guys know, I have an amazing series. It's called Hurt People, Bitter and Broken. You guys can check that out on Facebook and Instagram. It's called Hurt People Series. And on YouTube, we have two amazing seasons. And you guys can just use the subtitle. It's called Bitter and Broken Series. You guys can go watch it for free, stream it for free. I have an amazing guest. You know, on my show, I love to just give my guests their flowers. That's just what I, you know, something that I love to do. So I just want to give Jock his flowers. I met Jock a couple of years ago when I was doing a radio show for this series, Hurt People, Hurt People. I met him through one of my cast members, Rahsaan Knox, who played Bashir. And ever since then, I just clicked with Jock. And I just want to welcome you, Jock. Welcome.
Man, thank you so much. Ricardo Richard, I love the name. You know how I feel about you as a person. I think that you're an amazing human being. Your spirit is awesome. Your heart is in the right space, and you're taking steps to grow, which is the main thing that human beings are supposed to do. We're supposed to get better.
Absolutely. And I'm sorry, before we get into the interview, there was one thing I always told myself that I was going to start doing or whatever. I wanted to always acknowledge God in whatever I'm doing. So anybody listening or whatever, just know whatever times is going to get hard, it's going to be difficult at times, but make sure you keep your eyes on God, keep your eyes on Jesus. God, Jesus, you know, Jesus wants a personal relationship with all of us. He died on the cross for our sins. It's definitely going to get hard in his life, but just keep your eyes on him. So I always want to make sure I put that out there, that you know that Jesus can be Savior and Lord of your life if you choose him. So God is gracious. God is a good God. So definitely want to put that out there for anybody listening who's maybe losing hope, who's going through anything, that Jesus is the answer. So, Jock, I'm excited. Listen, this is what me and you do. Like, I'm really, really excited. I also want to tell, before I get into the questions, I just want to let the people know, whatever, like, me and you talked about this. We actually, me and Jock got a scene still currently working on where Jock got an opportunity to be my father, play my father in season 3 of the Hurt People series. And it was really a magical moment. I told you, Jock, that when we did our scene, you brought something out of me that I felt like I didn't do prior, like where I was like almost literally getting emotional, like where I almost cried, you know, during scene. And for me, and you could tell me what it meant to you, the scene, doing the scene, but for me, when I was doing the scene with you, it was just so, it was a really good scene, but at the same time, it was crazy because just knowing you, you know, you're a great guy, and then it's just to channel those type of emotions. I mean, that's what acting is all about. But I kind of, in my mind, this scene to me was always inspired. If anybody don't know or whatever, I had a best friend a couple years ago who passed away from sickle cell. So my series is inspired by his life. When I did the scene, it just was conversations that me and him had before he died. And one of the things was he always just wanted that validation and that acceptance of his father. And he wouldn't ever really come out and really say it until he was inebriated. And I would see how hard it was for him. So I remember when I was doing the scene, it was really eerie for me because I had him in mind, like everything that he would want to say to his dad. I was just thinking about, you know, him in that scene and me and you talking about, like, if I was him, what would I say to his dad, you know, and I just got so emotional in that scene, and I just can't wait for it to come together so everybody can see it because it was such a powerful scene. And, you know, shout out to all the fathers out there, you get what I mean, who have been there in their child's life, and, you know, that's just been there because I know it's hard, you get what I mean? People have their own past childhood traumas, you know, so just shout out to the real dads out there that's just been a part of their kid's life, you know, from beginning to end. And if any fathers out there who have messed up, you know, just get back on the bandwagon, you know, ask for forgiveness and try to reconcile. So what did that scene like kind of mean for you, Jock?
Sure. So, Richard, you said a bunch of things there, and I want to reiterate what you said. First of all, folks, if there's any concerns or needs that you have, one of the wonderful things that we have in society is access to information. And a lot of times that information is available and it doesn't cost you anything. It's just a matter of the individual taking that step to seek that kind of help or information. So I'm an advocate for mental health, for cannabis, medical marijuana, for holistic treatments and so forth. And I encourage folks, don't worry about so much about the stigma that's going on in the world. Focus on you as a human being and you being the best human being that you need to be. With that being said, it goes to something that's close to me. You know, I'm the only product of my mother and my father, but I grew up in a household, the youngest of seven. My relationship with my dad, he was there, but he wasn't there. And now that I'm older, I can think back to the different dynamics and things that were probably going on. He had, you know, six stepchildren. And, you know, I found out later that he had a whole another family that was going on. Now, I'm sure he had a lot of pressures to try to keep all those things in order. But what led him to get to that space where that was what he would think is acceptable behavior, right? And all I can think about is that's probably because of, you know, the treatment that he received from his father and so on and so forth. And you're giving me the opportunity to act in Hurt People, Bitter and Broken, the series, was my first acting opportunity. And when you sent the script to me and I read it, it was something that I was able to consider in my own life and what it would have been like in my life. So I'm a big believer in my spiritual connection to God. My thoughts about this acting are that, you know, it's an opportunity for me to make an impact and improve the lives of others in conjunction with all the other media stuff that I do. So it was a very powerful moment, not only because it was my first, but because you had asked me to do it and that you saw something in me, but also the energy of the day. My family being home when we shot it on location at my house, our house, in the garden, in the yard, the production crew that was with you, the corresponding conversations, even the conversations before, it was all quite magical. And so when I hear, you know, people in the filmmaking business talk about magic and energy and so forth, I can say firsthand that I was able to experience that. And I hope that when it is released publicly, that the folks who see that series and see that our connection, that they'll recognize it as well.
Absolutely. And it's just so important, you know, just overall, you know, I'm always about healing, you know, and I'm hoping, you know, when people watch the episode that that healing will take place, you know. And I think it's something that you definitely said that was important about. To me, it translated to trauma, childhood trauma, and how it continues through generation to generation to generation. And, you know, it just takes that person, I don't want to say special person, but it just takes that person to decide, you know what, despite what I've been through, you know, in my life, I'm going to be different, you know. So I feel like despite whatever you've been through, and I always tell you because for those who don't know, we come from the same neighborhood. We come from Trenton. And I always say, not saying that you can't come from the hood and you got to be negative and grimy, but it's just, you can just tell that you were raised. You know, you was one of those people that were raised. So I always appreciate that about you, just love and kindness. So let's get into some of these questions. I wanted to know, you know, because like I said, when I did meet you, you were doing radio. So I wanted to know, like, what inspired you to want to do radio?
Sure. I can't say I was inspired. Big shout out to WIMG 1300, WIMG1300.com, New Jersey's oldest radio station, tagline, by the way. But I fell into doing radio. I went on to WIMG as a guest to talk about a program that I was doing with a nonprofit organization, the Isles organization. Excuse me. And the station manager, Vinnie Stansberry, to be a host on one of the shows, and it led to me saying, hey, let me put this up on the internet after some encouragement. And then I realized that there was an opportunity for me to do this and, you know, maybe do it as a business. So it was never something that I sought out to do. I really just fell into doing it. Great encouragement, really good success, and I've just been running with it ever since.
Wow, how cool is that? All right, you guys, stay tuned. Is a track next by International Internet Radio Hall of Fame disc jockey, Brother O.
I don't wanna thug no more. I ain't shooting slugs no more. I ain't selling drugs no more. I ain't smoking butter no more. Don't come no more. I ain't gotta claim no game. I ain't gotta chase no fame. I ain't gotta sling a bang. I ain't gotta sell no cane. Don't you know who he is? Better know who he is. You a god in the flesh, defeat the sin and death. Your best bet is repent if you ever wanna live. Ain't nobody else like him. Can't nobody help like him. A cross and a nail, either heaven or hell in the end. You can find out, man, who wins.
Everybody said that I was dumb just for seeking you. They said that I was dumb for believing you. Laugh behind my back, stab me in my back, but God has the last laugh, yeah.
And go tell Satan, Jesus said my faith cannot be shaken. My salvation rests in him alone, I'm God's creation. Your congregation so confused with all your complications. They don't know what to choose, like what's the true denomination. Just like the days of Noah, only few will escape. Can't evaluate your fate, man, it's too late to scream, wait, look, by failing to prepare, you preparing to fail, there's always a prepared place, though, for the person prepared,
and stay alert,
be on the watch now, cause your enemy proud, is a consistent righteous lifestyle, for a heavenly child,
hey, I can't lie, at times, ministry gets exhausting, hey, every day, pouring my body out as an offering, I can't lie, at times, ministry gets excited, igniting this fire with fighting off these giants.
That's why I said they trust, obey. That's why I said they praise Yahweh. I don't care what they say, they can say what they say. Give a day, me and mine go pray.
Hey.
I don't wanna thug no more. I ain't shooting slugs no more. I ain't selling drugs no more. I ain't smoking butter no more. Don't come no more.
Nah.
I ain't gotta claim no game. I ain't gotta chase no fame. I ain't gotta sling a bang. I ain't gotta sell no cane.
Hey. Holy is name.
Don't you know who he is? Better know who he is. You a god in the flesh, defeat a sin and death. Your best bet is repent if you ever wanna live.
Holy is his name.
Ain't nobody else like him, can't nobody help like him. A cross and a nail, either heaven or hell in the end. You can find out, man, who wins.
Everybody say that I was dumb just for seeking you. They said that I was dumb for believing you. Laugh behind my back, stab me in my back, but God has the last laugh, yeah.
God bless all my enemies, fake friends and pretend to be. God bless all my frenemies, cause I know you ain't friends with me. Drop this remnant on them, had to preach repentance on them. See you on the other side, hey, I keep speaking blessings on them. God bless all my enemies, hey, fake friends and pretend to be. God bless all my frenemies, cause I know you ain't friends with me. Had to drop this remnant on them, had to preach repentance on them. See you on the other side, hey, I keep speaking blessings on them. Every day trust, obey. Every day praise Yahweh. I don't care what they say, they can say what they say. Every day me and mine gon' pray. Every day trust, obey. Every day praise Yahweh. I don't care what they say, they can say what they say. Every day we your mind.
Hey, holy
pray.
Is his name.
Wow, how amazing was that song? So, Jock, you were just telling me prior about kind of stumbling into it, and I just think that it's amazing because I just think how sometimes in life, you know, you could be one way, and it's almost kind of like it's drawing you to something, because like even when it comes down to whole actor opportunity, like I feel like, you know, that like you said, it might have been something that you wasn't really trying to do, but I feel like it was kind of calling you in a sense, because just like I can tell you my first experience, you know, getting on set, it was a learning process, and I just feel like when I worked with you, it was just kind of like you was just born to do it. That's how I honestly feel. So I feel like it's like gifts inside of each and every one of us, and I think it's important to align yourself with people that can see you past your circumstances and situations, like that can literally see things inside of you that you don't see in yourself. You get what I'm saying? And it's just really, really important. Tell me, like, what does faith mean to you?
Yeah, faith is at the root of who I am. You know, I know there's, you know, a lot of folks who, you know, just spout things off, you know, but my faith is really important to me. I didn't, you know, grow up, so to speak, in the church either. You know, I grew up in what I like to say is a village. I lived a couple of doors from my great aunt, 3 doors from my maternal grandparents. My mom was one of 13, and I'm the youngest of 7. So there was no busloads of people going to church in rural Ewing Township. So with that being said, you know, when I was really, you know, just growing as a teenager and trying to find out things, The scripture, the Bible was always available in my house or my grandparents' house. But we were never like, you know, beat over the head with the Bible or going to church or any of those things. It was really more just about like the faith and doing the right thing, being neighborly, et cetera. And it wasn't until I got a little bit older that I was around, I guess, 18 or so. I happened to be riding by a local church. They had a sign outside. I went inside, talked to a pastor, the youth pastor, accepted Christ, and that began my journey. It has in no way or any – it has not been like fireworks going off and now all of a sudden everything's perfect and I don't have any problems. I think that's completely ridiculous for anyone to think that. But what I will say is that it has been amazing. There's been peaks and valleys indeed, but I wouldn't change anything at all. It's really been amazing for me. And I think that if more people gave some thought to their faith, whatever that faith is, their spirit, I mean, who we are as human beings, I think that they really would be surprised. So I encourage folks to do that. It's very important to me.
Yes, and I just think, like even what you're saying, like, with sometimes I think that the reason why sometimes people don't have faith or don't come or won't have a relationship with God, you know, Jesus, is because sometimes people have many different reasons. Like sometimes people feel like people in the church are hypocrites, or sometimes people may have that that kind of condemnation. Oh, I think I know I'm saying it wrong. That basically they have this like preference, or they're thinking that. Some people feel like if you do come to God, you know, everything will be right if you, you know, become a Christian. And that's definitely not true. Everything definitely doesn't.
Richard, I want to jump in, you know, and I hope that we can have this kind of be like our normal sessions when we just talk and stuff and not so much, you know, straight back and forth. But I say that because we have been told so much, especially as a person of color and African-American, we've been told so much by so many other people that we're more infighting amongst the black culture and the black church and church in general, that we're not even addressing what the real issues and the real problems are. And I think that that's where my faith has grown tremendously, because I believe God has allowed me to get to a space where I'm no respecter of persons, meaning I understand who you are and your position and your authority. But you are no higher than me, nor I any higher than you, regardless of what society says, where you live, the car you drive, the house you live in, or the one that you don't. We're all human beings. And I think that if more people would get beyond that with their faith, especially those who call themselves to be Christians, and just love their neighbor, whomever their neighbor is, wherever their neighbor is, I think we'd really start seeing more movement of the Spirit of God.
Yeah, and I think it's also just about just meeting people where they are. You get what I mean? Like, I feel like kind of like God meet us where we are, you know, depending on where we are in life. You know, of course, nobody's perfect, but meeting people where they are is so, so important. I just, for me, Jock, like I said, just meeting you fresh, like a fresh breath air, and I just wish that people – just on a daily basis would just begin to encounter that more, just love, you know, love from the people of God, because there's a lot of people out here hurting. You get what I mean? There's a lot of people out here hurting. There's a lot of people out here, they've been through a lot. And it's just always interesting to me how, you know, people could be going through so much, and the furthest thing people want to do is give it to God or go to church because of, you know, whatever stigma the church have or whatever it is that they maybe church hurt, whatever. You get what I'm saying? But none of us, I feel like, are at a, in a place in our life where we can't be saved. You get what I mean? No matter what we've done.
Yeah. I don't think that that's ever a concern, especially if you're someone who believes in God and God is love. I mean, if the two other people who were on the cross with Christ, if one of them could be saved at that moment, that person had no chance to do any good deeds or do any of those things. It was the faith and the belief.
Mm.
And what did Christ say? You'd be with me in paradise, right? I mean, I can't, as a Christian, I can't see that being any more definable than what paradise or heaven is, than Christ saying that you're going to be with him. Like, Like, I mean,
right.
Okay. And again, and like,
you know,
like, Rich, I think that's the stuff that we got to pull back and start thinking about differently. And maybe not so much, like, we are in the media, right? People, we have access to different things that a lot of folks don't. So we have the ability to look at things a little differently. We're fortunate in that regard. But I'd like to say that what we're doing is taking it a step further than just having a belief, but actually trying to grow and experience that belief more. And then to share
yeah.
that from our perspective, knowing that there aren't a lot of people in our position who look like us who are doing this. So we're doing a bit
yeah.
of trailblazing, but I think at the same time, we're doing it in a way that is spirit-led, spirit-driven,
yeah.
to be good human beings, to not be arrogant or any of those things. And I think that that is the epitome of you know, our mission, so to speak,
yeah.
you know, our ministry.
Yeah. And I want to just encourage people out there, you know, to be givers. And an act of kindness, Jock, goes a long way. You know, I feel like we can all choose kindness. Like, of course, people, we all have our days, you know, where we ain't feeling it. But I just feel like sometimes just the act of kindness, you get what I mean? Like, you just doing something, it can just change the trajectory of someone's day. You get what I mean? Like, you just,
mm-hmm.
just one act of kindness, it just goes a long way, and it's really, really important. So I wanted to ask you a question about boundaries, you know, because I'm learning it right now still in my life, you know, sometimes even being nice and overgiving sometimes. How important are boundaries in your life? And how often do you have to establish those boundaries in relationships, whether past or present?
That's a fantastic question. And I hope that, you know, a lot of young people get a chance to hear this. I experienced a lot of, I guess, mature things at a young age. And I think that that may be because of, you know, being in a big community, growing up in a community, say a village. But also knowing that, sorry, I just got distracted by my cat. Give me that question again, Richard. I'm sorry.
Basically, I was just asking you, how important are boundaries in your life? Like, yeah, how important is boundaries
yeah.
as it pertains to past or present friendship? And how often do you have to, you know, establish those boundaries?
Sure. Thank you. So, and I appreciate you repeating that. As you get older, you'll start to see that there are some things that, that just disappear, distractions. But yeah, boundaries. Again, as a young person, I probably experienced more mature things, whether it was, you know, ways to communicate, being the youngest of seven, or being in a large community. Like, you're hold your hand. So you're going to have to learn some things and take care of them on your own. While doing that, I can say that I was in a fortunate safe space where, you know, I wasn't, you know, nothing happened to me that was traumatic, so to speak, growing up. But I learned that there were things that were, you know, people don't do that. And it was not only told and mentioned, it was also acted out and acted upon by the folks who were around me, the adults, et cetera. Now, I don't want anybody to think that everything was goody-good two-shoes and crisp and clean and no issues. That's not what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about is the boundaries that I have set for me as a person. I know what I can tolerate and what
right.
is enough for me. Therefore, my convictions are not your convictions or vice versa. And, you know, I often tell folks about that as well. Don't let other people's convictions be yours. If you feel as though something's not right, speak up and say something about it. That's where your boundaries are going to exist. But to think that, hey, so-and-so is okay with it, then I should be okay with it too? No, that's not where we are, and that's not the spirit of God.
Wow. Wow, I feel like you're definitely speaking to me on that part, you know. for real, boundaries are, I mean, it's so, so important. You get what I mean? And sometimes it's hard to set them. I know for me personally, it's been difficult at times. And I'm still, as I'm getting older, I'm learning to really put those boundaries in place, you know, because people are going to be people. People will, you know, take advantage. People will, if they know you're a nice person, people are, you know, they'll ask. And sometimes I'm recognizing and realizing, like, you got to, you know, place those boundaries, you know, keeping, you know, you from being burned out, you know, so it's so important. And I feel like it can save relationships, too, just creating those boundaries in those safe places. Going back to the father thing, how has it been a father, like, how has a father helped mold you into the person you are today?
Are you mean fatherhood?
Yeah, man.
Yes, fatherhood. Like, how has that helped you?
Fatherhood to me is cool. I think my wife and I, we were also in a space where, you know, we were able to plan some things and do things in some sort of a scheduling, you know, with God, of course. But we didn't just have a baby. You know what I mean? We thought about it. We planned it out. And then we had this very healthy child, and experience with it has been well. You know, we have a wonderful child, doing good in college, no issues. And as a parent, I mean, I don't know what much more you want more than that, to know that right. You've created and helped to create an offspring that is a functioning member of society. Come on.
Right.
Would you want any more expectations put upon you by your parents? So that's the way we look at it. We've got a really good kid,
yeah.
Child.
Wow, that's so amazing. All right, you guys. So chat next by International Internet Radio Hall of Fame. This jockey, Brother O.
Don't drop the flyer. Oh, Renee, tighten up.
Don't drop me.
Wande,
posture.
Don't drop her, okay? Our life is banking on this. Get it together.
Don't drop me, please.
Oh, what?
Bree, are you okay?
Yeah. Hey. Woo, I'm like, ooh, pull up and see how I live in my crew. Keep it on 10 and you know we don't lose. Only intent, homie, and we make moves. Like, ooh, I'm like, ooh, pull up and see how I live in my crew. Keep it on 10 and you know we don't lose. You know the vibes every time we come through. Like, ooh, yeah. Talk to me, yeah. I was lost, K, but I ain't going back. Ain't no South Bay. You can talk to me, what that life like? See some dark days, I still shine bright. It's like the more you elevate, the more the fake can gravitate. I pray for him to use me, then he sent me out of state. I met a couple hitters, God, he put him in the picture, cause he knew from the beginning we gon' be together winning. Ay, give it away, give it away. I had to get some bangs, I had to pray, move it away. I had to call him the name, move to the A, miles away. And what are y'all living this thing? All of my games, father he gave, I cannot give it today. Never worry about opinions when you know divine. I'm so rooted, so the flow gon' always be divine. Hit my line, yo, let's talk, let me besties. Focused on the sun, so I don't care if they forget. I'm like, ooh, pull up and see how I live with my crew. Keep it on 10 and you know we don't lose. Only intent, homie, and we make moves. Like, ooh, I'm like, ooh, pull up and see how I live with my crew. Keep it on 10 and you know we don't lose. You know the vibes every time we come through. Like, ooh, look, I'm first generation, you to not having it, ain't average, that's why I rock my night, that's it, just to show the world my God always surpassing it, they try and crown you, but you have the last laugh, legit, I see so many holding pain, yeah, they masking, don't hold on too long, you might go do something drastic, they ask me one day, where you get your satisfaction, told them that it's coming from above, then they hit me with a shrug, I ain't tripping, cause I know they peeping the way we living, ain't nobody comparing the G.O.D. with his children, I hit my little dance, knowing I'm too forgiving, in the season I was hidden, now I'm purring like a kitten, yeah, you never worry about opinions when you know divine. I'm so rooted, so the flow gon' always be divine. Hit my line, yo, let's talk, like we besties. Focus on the sun, so I don't care if they forget. I'm like, ooh, pull up and see how I live with my crew. Keep it on 10 and you know we don't lose. Only intent, homie, and we make moves. Like, ooh, I'm like, ooh, pull up and see how I live with my crew. Keep it on 10 and you know we don't lose. You know the vibes every time we come through. Like, ooh.
All right, we are back. So, Jack, I don't know if I told you. I believe I did. I told you about my brother's passing recently.
Yes.
About a couple of months ago, my brother was murdered. And it's, I can't lie, like, it still affects me. I think as time go on, if I could be really transparent on this radio show, it actually gets worse for me. I thought that initially, you know, I'm like, okay, I'm going to be all right, guys, you got me, you got me. You know, and as time go on, it gets hard. You know, just that we don't have any answers as far as any leeways or I don't know what happened to my brother. His children, he left five kids. And I was just telling my dad I was telling my dad that I thought I was a little angry at my brother, but I think that wasn't the right word. I think I was a little disappointed because I feel like me and my brother was 3 months and about 6 days apart. So we were really close. And, sometimes, like, when I look at his children, I just feel like, this is me being real transparent. I was telling my dad, like, Dad, I feel like I have to be there for his kids. And I remember my dad telling me, you know, you don't put too much pressure on yourself. You don't, you know, you be there when you can. You don't have to be there. And I'm like, Dad, I have to be there. Like, you know, me and my brother was in sync. As we got older, Jock, me and my brother started beginning to separate. We weren't as close because my brother has such a hold, the streets had such a hold on him, Jock. And I remember going to school, and as I got older, and I remember taking a course on gangs, and it was talking about the falsehood of a subculture and basically a family structure, how a lot of times these young men who don't have fathers or whatever is going on in the household, they're looking for that. And they go elsewhere, you know, they go to the streets to look for this false sense of wholeness. And for my brother, he had this loyalty, you know, that was rare. He had a lot of love in his heart. But I felt like it was towards the wrong people. And I personally know the people that killed my brother knew them. I know that for a fact. I just don't know who it was. And, of course, in the streets, people are talking and stuff, so it makes it challenging. But the reason why I bring the situation up is because in my heart, I'm like, God, I have to use this pain for purpose somehow. And I've been asking God, what is it that you want me to do with the loss of my brother? Because it shakens me, Jock, to the core of me. You know, to where some days I don't even know if I could get out of bed. And I'm like, God, what is it that you want me to do? Because I know that when my best friend had died, I was able to write through the situation and you know, I was able to produce the series. And I'm like, God, what is it that you want me to do? What is it that you want me to do? And I really don't know what I'm going to do because it's only been 3 months. You get what I'm saying? But I bring that up because I feel like it's so important to have community. You know, I was just telling this young guy who I know or whatever, he was just telling me how hard it has been trying to raise a child. You know, he don't have a father. I think his father was deported back to Jamaica, never had a father. His mom had six kids. And I was telling him, like, it's okay to ask for help, you know? Like, it takes a family. Like, it takes a village. And I really didn't know what that stuff meant when I was a kid. But now that I'm older, I really understand, like, it does take a village to really raise a kid. And for me, I just think about all the things that we did have growing up, Jock. Like, we had the after-school program. We had the next-door neighbor get with us. You get what I'm saying? When mom and dad wasn't home or just correct us. And we don't really have that now. You really can't say anything to your kids. You know, I'm an educator. I'm not even going to lie. Like, just last week, one of the parents got real crazy with me. You get what I mean? Got real spicy with me. And they actually recently came back today and apologized to me. You get what I'm saying? And I was definitely open to it. I was just telling the teacher, the parent, you know, let's pull each other to the side, pull me to the side and talk to me. You know, that way it ain't crazy and the kids, you know, we got to be examples at all times. So I just recognize that, you know, there's a lot of kids out here, especially black kids growing up in inner city and they're hurting, you know, and I see a lot of young men who knew my brother, I see them hurting. I know a lot of those men, young men, you know, are on all type of pills, self-medicating. And I don't know, it's just, it hurts me to see that a lot of young black men, you know, that come from the areas we come from, a lot of them are lost for whatever reason. Like I said, it could be father not there, it could be mother, you know, put around a lot of responsibility on the kids early on. It could be a lot of times these kids growing up, Jock, and they feel like the only way I'm going to get money is I'm going to be a rapper, you know, I'm going to go be a basketball player, or I'm going to sell drugs and be in a gang. And it just literally hurts me. Like, sometimes it doesn't affect you until it's in your backyard. And I've always felt some type of way when I would see things, you know, on social media or people that I grew up with. I have so many people that I grew up with, Jock, who have been killed, you know. And for me, a lot of times I look at my life and I really have to give honor and glory to God, because I say to myself sometimes, what is it that makes you so different from anybody else? Because I've been around, you know, I never was a street guy, but I've hung around, you know, on the corner a couple of times when I was younger, just trying to figure out, like, you know, who I wanted to be and try to fit in, and recognizing as I got older that I'm not like those, like those people, you know. But understanding, you know, this was the people that I was around, and just consciously making the decision that I wanted better even when I was younger. And I had that pressure early on to join a gang and stuff like that. But for my brother, I don't want to say someone isn't as strong. It's just he just, you know, kind of fit into it more. You know, that's what he was about. It was like this cold in the streets. And when I see young men, black men that look like me, that come from where I come from, no matter what hood it is, that's 15 to 16 that got killed, you know, it really hurts me even more now, because my brother's gone and he's going to miss out on his kids' graduation and degree, you know, and not see his grandchildren and the proms he's going to mess it up, all these things. And my next question was to you, how important it is in community to you, how important it is to, you know, to give back. And I know for me, like, I always have this thing in me, like, I want to do something. Like, I know my life is not just about me. And I believe in my whole heart, like, even though I'm still going through what I'm going through, I do believe that God wants to use this pain for purpose. I just don't exactly know what. You know, I have ideas, but I exactly don't know what he want to do. But I don't believe, I was watching this thing on YouTube with this woman, and basically she was talking about how she had 4 miscarriages and her baby had died 3 weeks before. And she had recognized that she had kept her eyes off of God. And even in the midst of the situation of her losing her baby while she was crying her eyes out, she recognized that I went through this situation to help somebody else. So I'm thinking in my mind, God had allowed this situation, even though it's still so hard for me. It's really hard. Even though my stepmother, she has stage 4 cancer, and she's literally like, it's just taking a toll on her because this is her firstborn. So there's been a lot going on in my family, but God is still good. And I just encourage anybody out there to run towards God, even through the difficult times, even when we don't understand, we still got to trust in him and we still run to him. Because for me, running away from God, you know, when I was immature, I would do that. Like, I would take that opportunity to self-sabotage myself and go turn up and go party and go be around a bunch of people that weren't really, you know, fulfilling me. So I say run towards God. But anyway, I would say that I know that God is going to use this somehow. I strongly believe God had allowed this situation, this tragedy, to happen to my family because I'm supposed to do something with this. I just don't know what yet because it's still early on. But I'm going to use this pain for purpose. I'm not going to let this just sit doormat. My brother's death is not going to go in vain. I just don't know yet what God want me to do. But I just want us as a community, as black men, young women, like, I just want us as black people, Latino people, anybody coming from the inner city, like, I want to see people do better, and I want to see people heal, and I want to see people have those conversations that they need to have. So that means that they need to go back and talk to their father who wasn't there for them, you know, most of their life. Go have that conversation. If you don't get a chance to talk to your father, your father passed on or in jail or whatever the situation may be, sometimes have peace. I remember my stepmother telling me how when she was in rehab, she had to write a letter. And as she wrote the letter on all the people that she had to forgive, and she had to bury it. And sometimes we might not get the closure that we need, Jock, you know, from whoever the individual is. But I just don't want people to be imprisoned by their own mind and the things that they had to go through, because I believe that my brother had a lot of stuff going on in his mind that he didn't really talk about. And I think when things would get heavy, that was just the best option, to run to the street, because it's like, you know, he believed these people loved him. He believed these people cared about him. And it was a safe haven. It was something safety about being in the street. So I say all that to say,
yeah, so,
how important is community?
I want to, you said so much, and I wish that we had lots of time to discuss it. But, I mean, there's a couple of key phrases, I mean, that have meant something to me. And one of them is the path of least resistance. And I think that a lot of people will take that, just because it is just that, the least resistance. It's easy for them to just to do this, as opposed to working a little bit harder or taking a different path. You know, you could have two people grow up in the same household, same experiences, and have two totally different experiences about the house, you know, and they're growing up. So I've always looked at things from the standpoint for as long as I can, like as individuals, like, yeah, you know, this is what I'd like to do, but what I want for myself probably isn't going to be what someone else would want for me. So what's the fair thing to do? I don't always want things to go my way, and nor should they, and nor should they for anyone else. So I think that being in a communal situation where, you know, whether it's democratic when the conversations are had or done in a way where it's, you know, everyone has, you know, an equal share of thoughts, it needs to be developed. And I think as we grow as people, whether we get that in our homes, I think that we experience that when we get into school, when we go to college, if we go to college, the workforce. I think that human beings find out, hey, I can't do what I used to do because, you know, it's not acceptable, it's embarrassing, all those other things. And then I think that you see people change. There's plenty of people, I think, who grew up or come from challenging situations, recognize that how they grew up is not the way life should be, and they therefore make the adjustments and changes and go on. I just think that there's so many people, and we don't have a real breadth of how many people there are, you know, in our everyday lives, that, you know, sometimes only certain situations, I think, are more profound than others. I think that, you know, if we just focus a little bit more on extending a little bit more grace to ourselves and also to other people, I think that would go a long way. Going back to the idea of love thy neighbor as thyself. If you got a concern with your neighbor, more than likely, if they're living next to you, they're probably in equal circumstances, whether or not they look it or not. But they probably are. They're probably making similar types of money. That's just the way human beings are. You know, if you're making, you know, tens of millions of dollars, you're probably not going to live in a community where there aren't other people who are making that kind of money. Birds of a feather flock together. And I think that if those who call themselves by Christian know that the saying, they'll know that we're Christians by our love. I think if people who believe in that faith actually extended that, they would see changes in society. And I think that it would also help to provide examples to, you know, some folks who are doing different things. I mean, you're here explaining to me basically it, explaining to your audience. You chose a faith of forgiveness and love through your faith in Christ. You're at this point, even though you're upset and you're still trying to figure out what these emotions are that you have and what they mean, you're still talking to me and to others saying that I feel I have a responsibility to his children, to his offspring. So to me, that itself is being neighborly. You could have easily said, no, this person had the same opportunity I did. They chose a different path. I want nothing to do with them. But that's not the spirit of God. Because we all have been in that situation and could be in that situation. You know, I'd like to always reference the book of Revelation where it talks about worshiping in a city with a number of people that can't be counted. of all different backgrounds and all different tongues. So if that's the case, then why on Sundays in America is it the most segregated day of the month, like Martin Luther King said? Why are there only industries that black or black or Hispanic or white or Irish or whatever caretakers only service their own bodies of their people? We've got a lot of unraveling to do and unwinding and unpeeling of the onion as a society. But I think the best way to start is just with ourselves. What are we doing individually on a day-to-day basis to encourage ourselves, to big up ourselves? That's the case. Shouldn't we be extending that to our siblings, our brothers and our sisters?
Right. So true. Wow, that's powerful. All right, you guys, just hold up for a second. Track next by Brother L.
Watch that little boy, yeah, man at the door. Go somewhere, play with your toys. We saw your boys, would you no point? That's a clap cause you flex on the board. Watch that little boy, yeah, army of course. That's why I brag on my board and I'm teaching my boys. Grind up and hire yourself, that way you cannot be unemployed. I will not be ignored, yeah, you can't afford. Pay me to lower my voice, persistent and poised. Yeah, you can be floored, I'd rather go be deployed. Watch that little boy, yeah, switch to a major. But I never switch up the course, ain't leaving the Lord. I'm like a journalist, I'll never give up my source. Watch out, little boy. Watch out, little boy. Yeah, I'm on them neck. Say what I say with my chest. Check your baguette. Yeah, all of that drip on your neck. We don't tell you that trip turned to drowning and dead. Yeah, go get a check. Make sure you get some respect. Teach us how you invest. Streams to collect. Protecting the kings and the queens. I guess I'm out here playing chess. Yeah, God got a plan. Stand up and act like a man. Don't play with that girl. Don't throw your hat in the ring if you'll never put a ring on her hand. We go and cleave. Only death making us leave. And when the grass isn't green, I get water and seeds. She is the league. She don't compete. I don't care what they got up on IG. Yeah, I come in peace, but I'm not gon' play with you, G. I listen to the G's. They told the shit I decree. Nothing out here that you wanna be. This is true to the streets. Yeah, I just believe we will become what we see. Trying to show you a king. You play the man. You keep it moving. Let them disagree. Like, watch out, little boy. Yeah, crying the force. Yeah, staying the course. Making some noise. Yeah, been training all day. You can say I'm on the board. Watch that little boy, yeah. Start going nuts. Watch the crowd go arm and joy. Face to the floor, yeah. That time I check, the mission can never be void. Watch that little, woo.
Jack, you still there?
Yes, sir.
All right, so we got a caller. Caller one, who are you and where are you calling from?
Hey, Ricardo, how are you? This is Chinchilla J. Hi. I'm enjoying your show tonight and your guest, so I am really enjoying it. I just have a couple of scriptures that I just want to share. And I am so sorry about your brother. I did not know that. So my heart goes out to you with that loss of your brother. And you were wondering, you know, like what God wants you to do. And just listening to that, you know, sometimes we don't really know like the path that God has for us, but we just have to be led by his spirit. And Proverbs 3:5-6, it says, trust in the Lord with all our hearts. and lean not to our own understanding, but in all our ways acknowledge God, and he will direct our path. So as long as we are constantly acknowledging him in everything we do, we're going to him seeking guidance and, you know, direction, and he will always direct our path, and we don't always understand. You know, like the ways of the Lord, you know, as the word says also, his ways are not our ways are not his. So it's very, I guess, like detrimental to life for us to really believe his word and take him at his word and stand on faith, knowing that he will definitely lead us. And all things that he allows to happen, happen for a reason. And at the time, we can't really see what that reason is. You know, a lot of times because, you know, anger may be there, sadness, grief may be there, and we can't really see beyond those aspects that we're that are affecting us at that time. But then in God's time, he will reveal the purpose and his plan. And also in Romans 12:2, God says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our minds. And so many people out here today are dealing with so many issues, and that, you know, a lot of people don't talk to anybody about different things mm-hmm. they're going through. And sometimes, you know, people that live in the same household, during my years of counseling, different families, and, you know, people living in the same household have no clue really what's actually going on in the minds of their loved ones. And unless those loved ones actually come to them and talk, and as you were saying, right. your brother, you know, he felt more comfortable talking with people out in the street. You know, maybe he felt as though, you know, they weren't judging him, which a lot of people think that families will judge them. But it's not really that families are judging. Families have that love and concern, so they're going to try to tell people, you know, some things they're doing are not right, or maybe the way that families are, you know, showing that love in the aspect of they don't want anything to happen to them. So they're trying to direct them in another path, whereas friends and people out in the street, you know, they really don't care, you know, what you're doing. And, you know, so that's like a hard situation there. And, you know, and then we have people out here today that are just hurting on the inside, and the way they cry out inwardly instead of outwardly, to really let everything out and speak to people about what they're going through. And I think it was last week I read this article. There was a young lady. She had, I think, 5 kids, and, you know, she kept reaching out and telling people how she was feeling, and she was kind of tired of, you know, being a single mom and everything. And, you know, and so then she put a post up saying that, you know, she was feeling better and she was in good spirits, blah, blah, blah. And then another post, she was back in that state of depression. And that's something a lot of people are, you know, constantly battling with, is depression. And so she was battling that depression of being a single mom and tired of all that responsibility on her own. And so the last message she put up was that, you know, she was tired, and, you know, if anybody reads this, and she hopes that people are there to take care of her children. And so she committed suicide, and that was so very sad. And she had nobody, like, to, I guess, help to, you know, like, take the kids off her hands, you know, hands for a few hours while she gets herself together and have time for herself. But we never know what people are going through, and some people just fly in different ways. But, like, suicides are up so much. We have a lot to contend with in this world today. You know, suicides are up. Murders are up. You know, the gun shootings are up. Black crime is up. Racism is up. Wrongful convictions is up. Everything is, like, up in this world, you know, and all the bad things. But then we have to look beyond all those bad things and actually see something that God is trying to do in the midst of all of these ills of the world. And when you were talking about, you know, taking care of the children, now, God says in Galatians 6:2, bear ye one another's burden and so fulfill the law of Christ. And another scripture I like, you know, God says in Matthew 25, I think it's 35, For when I was hungry, you gave me meat, or you fed me. When I was thirsty, you gave me drink. Stranger, you took me in. And, you know, some people don't realize what that scripture is. You know, guys, I talk about himself, but, you know, he said that every time you did one of those things to anybody, you were doing it to him. So, like, even for those strangers on the street that we have compassion for and see them going through things, to, you know, buy them some food if they're hungry and asking for food. If they're saying, like, I'm hungry, can you buy me some food? It's really our obligation, according to God's word, to then feed them. We don't have to give them money if they ask them for food. Go to the store, buy them a sandwich, buy them some soup, and feed them, right. Buy them something to drink if they're thirsty. But that's showing love. And, you know, God is the God of love. And no matter what we go through in life, you know, God is still love. And, you know, it's so sad. I lost my dad in November 2017. And so that day is coming up. And my dad wasn't sick or anything. He was not sick. He was healthy as a lark. And, you know, I was in Florida at the time, and, you know, he was up here. And so my mom and all, we were in Florida, and we were talking on the phone, and all of a sudden, you know, he started saying he couldn't breathe. Like, I can't breathe. And so we talking to him on the phone, telling him, you know, just breathe. And, you know, and we thought he was still breathing the whole time because we could hear him breathing. And we didn't know where he was at the time, so finally we found out where he was, got the ambulance and stuff to come out, and he was already dead. And it was like, wow. No, he can't be dead because we hear him breathing. We hear him still breathing. And it's like, no, that was like that sound that, you know, people make. And I'm like, oh, my God. So that was such a shock because, you know, when somebody is sick and you know that they don't have long to live because of a sickness, you can somewhat prepare for death. But when somebody dies unexpectedly, like with your brother and with my dad, when somebody dies unexpectedly, it's such a different, like, feeling. And that's, like, really hard to take in. And, you know, so, you know, death is nothing that no one ever wants to see or experience as far as loved ones are concerned. But we know that everybody, you know, we all are going to die eventually one day. And there's just no preparation for it at all, you know. But if we just trust God and knowing that he did the right thing, he made the right decision at that time for whatever reason. And, you know, the hurt will always remain. The void will always be there. And, of course, yes, we're going to think about our loved ones. But we just have to think, you know, that they're in a better place, you know. So I'm really enjoying your show, and, you know, it should be more people out there with compassion for what people are going through in this world, you know, and with civic engagement. It's like being involved, and too many people are not involved in nothing. You know, people don't get involved these days in social justice issues and community issues, being concerned with what's going on within communities, what's going on within the schools. Even if your children have all graduated from school, we still need to be concerned what's going on within the school system because all of these children, they're going to be adults one day. So what are they learning? Are they thriving? You know, so these are things that everybody needs to actually be concerned with as a community, as a city, as a country. And, you know, it's so sad that people just don't get involved today. So I thank you so much for this topic that you're on today and your guest. Very awesome and very spiritual sounding man. And thank you so much. And I will continue to listen to the rest of the show.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Thanks for the kind words. It's wonderful.
You're welcome.
Thank you so much. Wow, that was beautiful. Caller 2, who are you and where are you calling from?
Hello, this is Mo Garman calling from Philadelphia.
Hello.
I just called to say I was enjoying your show. I love hearing two men actually speaking spiritually and loving to each other. It is just wonderful to hear.
Oh, thanks. I mean,
Yeah, Rich, so for me to jump in there, I'd like to say, you know, that means a lot to hear that because I often hear that men aren't sharing, you know, what they're thinking, what they're feeling. And I'm really fortunate because I've got a lot of wonderful men in my life, you know, older, younger, of the same ethnicity and not. You know, we're working and sharpening each other. And I've got a wonderful network, and Richard's part of it, you know, where we can cry together, we can laugh together, we can talk about serious issues, and we can have a good time with it as well. So hearing that from you, we don't even know, or I don't even know you. I don't know if Richard knows you, but it's really it's edifying. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're very welcome. It's just very refreshing.
Thank you. Wow. That was amazing, even just hearing Ms. Chinchilla and the stuff that she was saying. Thank you, Ms. Chinchilla. I know you're probably off now, but thank you, you know, for the scriptures. Thank you for the kind words, and that's what I was just talking about. Like, you know, Jock, it's community. You get what I mean? Like, it's no I in team, you know? Like, I think I heard something you said about just something about, I don't know, I don't want to, like, misquote you, but something about doing the work in yourself first, I think you were saying.
Well, not. I mean, it could be interpreted that way, but I think that if we had more focus on ourselves and our own homeostasis, our own balance, where are we in God's eyes? Where are we in our own eyes? Where are we in the eyes of other folks? And are we focusing on that and building that up and getting better? Or are we, you know, looking at someone else and you know, calling them out for what they're doing, but not recognizing what we are doing. And I think that the more we focus on trying to be better against, like, you know, a certain type of a standard, we get to see where we're not so sharp, and we begin to focus more on that. And I say that because that has at least been my personal experience. I try to focus on so much inward and work on building up other people and telling them how I think they're doing and securing them and what they're doing.
Yes, so amazing, Jack. All right, we're coming down to the final thoughts. Jack, I wanted to know, is there anything coming up, anything that you want to talk about really, really fast? You want to give them your social media platforms so they can know how to reach you? What's next?
Sure, yeah. So first of all, thank you for the opportunity. I look forward to chatting with you more. And my first film experience, my first acting experience with you, Ricardo Richard, through the Hurt People web series. And you can stay, they can get that information from you. I'm just as excited as you for when that comes out, which hopefully will be soon. But everything that I do is based upon the acronym REACH, R-E-A-C-H, and that stands for Recreation, Environment, Art and Culture, Civic Engagement, Health and Nutrition. So I partner with organizations, agencies, faith communities, businesses large and small, and individuals to get the information out about what they're doing. I have radio and television access, as well as an international following on social media. And the best way to get in contact with me is checking out my website, which is my first -lastname.com. So that's JACQUE-Howard.com. And there you'll see a bunch of partners I have, some of the projects that I'm a part of, the organizations I'm leading, et cetera.
Wow, how amazing. All right. It's in Goldie time, everyone. Here's your mother and father's favorite producer, Brother O.
Well, first of all, I want to thank the brothers on this line tonight. I both, you know, definitely share the views. It's funny that, you know, Chinchilla brought up a good point. I experienced both, having a mother that I knew that was passing away from pancreatic cancer and seeing her dwindle and seeing her pass away. And then the abrupt situation with my dad, you know, he had congestional heart failure, but he suddenly died of a heart attack. So, and being an only child, you have to be strong. You have to be available, and you have to be able to move on with your life. And that's what I've done. As far as this network, almost a mere 9 years ago on the day of my mother's translation and transition, February 4th, 2013, was 10 years after my mother's passing. So, stay strong, everyone. remember, tomorrow, if the great creator allows you to wake up, is the first day of the rest of your life. We are so happy tomorrow to bring back a true champion to our network, our coach, Derek Gibson, tomorrow night, and his show, Coach's Corner, right here, 9:30 Eastern Standard Time on these on these stations. And, of course, Damon Network has advertising the ONE, which is Odell Ingalls Enterprise Reach, of course, at www.lookingglassentertainment.wordpress.com, as well as in Ghosty Prime Time on that, Damon.com. We're in Ghosty Time both for Twitter and Instagram, Odell Ingalls at Periscope Plus. Odell and Malay, where he goes here, Facebook, as well as our business page, Trent Makes, as well as the Historic Determined and Motivated Online Now Network, established 2016. And any comments, suggestions, or welcome program tonight, that goes with my and gmail.com, and I am your mother and father's favorite producer, Odell and Malay, where he goes, he's saying goodnight and good luck to all the folks out there in Armed Force Radio that support us on a constant basis. Hey, Ricky, you got 1 minute and 42 seconds left to go in this wonderful program tonight.
All right, you guys, I just wanted to thank my guest, Jock. You know how I feel about you. You're an amazing person. I'm grateful to have you in my life. So I just want to thank you, you know, for taking the time out to come on to this platform, and I'm excited. I can't wait to get on your platform, on your podcast, and we just do what we do. I'm really grateful for this opportunity once again, just to be able to talk to so many different people around the world. It's just I'm very, very grateful. Also want to let, again, everybody know my Facebook name is Ricardo Richard, R-I-C-A-R-D-O, R-I-C-H-A-R-D. Facebook didn't want me to be great, so I couldn't put the dash on the end. Check me out on Instagram, Ricardo Richard, the same name. Also, again, you guys, please check out our amazing web series, Hurt People, Bitter and Broken. We have two amazing series, seasons. Hopefully the third is going to be out next year. Again, thank you so much. I hope everybody be blessed. Everybody have a great night. Again, I'm just a young boy, you know, from the neighborhood and just want to be used by God. And I'm so grateful and so thankful. And I hope everybody be blessed. And like Brother O said, you know, tomorrow is a new day and to the rest of your life. So whatever happened in the past, let's grow from it. Let's learn from it. And let's try to be the best version of ourselves. Thank you, everybody. Mm-hmm.